Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Night Shadows. I'm Stuart Best. Where the paranormal is normal. Where that which you thought you knew, you didn't. And where the future can be known, if you know exactly where to look.
Well, good evening, everyone, and thanks for tuning in and listening. And we have our guest, Barry Rothman, with us, a Bible code expert. And some of the things he's found are, I think, rather astounding and kind of confirm a lot of what Bible prophets had to say in Jeremiah and Isaiah and places like that, Daniel. Anyway, it should be a very interesting hour, and we also have Larry with us on his mountaintop. Hi, Barry, how are you doing?
Pretty good. How are you tonight?
I'm doing fine. And Larry, how are you?
Hi, Larry. All ready to hear what Barry has to say, of course.
Yeah, why don't we start with this Bible code thing that Barry came up with on the wall and Obama, et cetera, et cetera. To me, that's the most fascinating thing along, well, of course, his stuff on time was a really big thing to me. But Barry, you want to lead us into this Civil War, Barack Obama, President Michelle, Schumer, et cetera, et cetera. What's your take on all that? And we can go through all the words. And anyway, just help us out.
Okay. Be happy to do that. First of all, I want to make clear something to your guests, your audience out there tonight. And that is that we have a silent partner who is listening in and who I detected on my site a little over an hour ago, but they're probably still on there right now, and that is the Army Intelligence Base at Fort Huachuca in Arizona. And they follow everything extremely closely. I put a new matrix up today, and within 1 minute they're there. In fact, they basically, from what I can see, can control what the host is doing that I use. So that's one thing. The other thing I'd like to say is I'd like to point out a verse in Deuteronomy. It's chapter 30, verses 19. And it says, this day I call the heavens and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life that you and your children may live. And the reason that I want to have this as kind of the preamble for what's going to go on tonight is that a lot of these things that I look for have to do with the fate of people. And it's one thing to look and see is somebody's fate there. It's another to publish it, because when you do, there's always the possibility, and you have to be very careful about this, that somebody may try to fulfill prophecy. They think they're doing a great deed or whatever. And so if I look at what's likely to happen or what may happen, or I find a matrix, you know, I don't want that used as cause for action, especially if it's a negative action against anybody. So we have to be very careful about this. You also have to realize that when it comes to what looks like a prophecy, that I'm looking up certain words. So, for instance, on this one, the first one we're going to talk about is the Civil War. I looked up the politicians that are dividing our country right now. But I have not had the chance yet to look up, for instance, Abraham Lincoln and see whether or not all the generals that were involved in the last Civil War are there. They may very well be. But in this particular case, I went looking for something which I would either find or not find. But it doesn't necessarily mean that it's the whole ballgame. There could be a negative statement in there someplace that I haven't seen that says this is not true. This is what people think is going to happen. So there's that caveat over there that we, you know, we're learning the rules of the game as we go along here, and we have to be careful not to step on anybody's toes, although I probably step on some Democratic toes too often. I'm definitely not a Democrat or a socialist or a communist or anything like that. You can be sure of that. I am a modern Orthodox Jew, in case any of your audience doesn't know that. But at any rate, let's get into the matrix, and at least that I think serves to warn some people about some of the dangers here. So this research started, I guess it was a couple of weeks ago, and like so many people in the country, I'm so disturbed at the division that I see in the United States right now. I'm a modern Orthodox Jew. I have a cousin who's a conservative Jew, and he's when I say conservative Jew, doesn't mean he's conservative politically. It's the conservative wing of the Jewish religion, which is actually liberal, very liberal. Okay, and I'm very conservative. So we often have very heated political discussions, and when we do, you know, we have both pretty much reached a conclusion that it looks like the country's heading towards a civil war. Now, I love this guy, my cousin, dearly. He taught me how to ride a bike when I was a kid and how to play chess and so many other things. And we're growing old together. But nonetheless, politically, we've absolutely grown in opposite directions. And we don't see how a civil war is going to be avoided, but I hope it can be. So the first verse that I read tonight, the blessing and the curse, life and death. Choose life. When I talk about things like what I'm going to talk about, there are certain negative things I found. I've also found a bomb encoded with atomic holocaust. We hope that that's going to be avoided. But there's a choice that the Torah gives us in terms of our actions, and that's in the open text, and that's what I just read. So in other words, it's like the forbidden fruit in a sense. You know, you have Adam and Eve had a choice. You can eat it, you cannot eat it. But if you eat it, there's going to be certain consequences. But still, there was a choice there. So it kind of represents free will to a certain extent. And we have choices to make. We have choices to make. In particular, I'm going to say that Fort Huachuca has choices to make. And I've seen a little bit of negativity from them, and then I've seen them sit back and just learn, you know, what the code is all about. But, you know, they've also given me some hints that indicated where the government might like to go with this. So they have a choice. Our politicians have choices. And I did hear tonight that there may be some solution coming on the wall where the president would settle for $1.6 billion instead of the $5 billion he was looking for Congress, but then he was going to turn around and take the rest of the money from the military budget and slide it over to get his $5 billion up front, you know, to start construction of about 65 miles worth of wall. So there's a choice there. And we want to make sure that people make intelligent choices. All right, having said all of that, okay, what did I look for? I looked for civil war in the codes, and I've looked for it before because of the many people besides my cousin that have said, even on television, it looks like we're heading towards a civil war. But I could never find it before, and I couldn't find it because I was looking for it as one continuous term at an equidistant letter sequence. So an ELS. What is an ELS? Let me explain that briefly for anybody who hasn't heard this before. The Torah has 304,805 letters in it, the Torah being the books of Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, rather, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Those first five books of the Bible, that's the Torah. And the tradition is there's a code in it, and it has the entire future of the world in it. And it's based on equidistant letters or a number of letters between each letter. So in other words, I find the word civil at a skip of minus 32,432. So that means that from the first letter of civil to the second, it's 32,432 letters. To the third, another 32,432 letters, and so forth, to the fourth and the fifth and the sixth letter. When the computer finds a word like that that's at an ELS, it goes vertical. And unless you take some other actions, there's going to be no spaces between each letter vertically. So it looks like only one letter apart going vertically, but it's really every line that the computer sees has 32,000, in this case, 432 letters. Another word, you know, another subject would have a different skip. But the computer finds these things. Now, what I did, it was different this time, knowing that I could not find civil and war in sequence. was to say, okay, I'm going to look for a small box, let's say 50 letters, and it must have civil as the first word, and it must have war in the open text. And war in Hebrew is machama. So I'm going looking for that, and I know how many times civil war or war occurs in the Torah, and let me just go back there for a second. So at any rate, I find that. So the minimum number of letters that you can hold on a second. Something just came off the screen here. Okay, get it back over here. Okay, the minimum number of letters that you can put civil and war together is 30. So that's 6 rows by 5 columns, because Malchama in Hebrew is 5 letters. So you get, rows by columns, 6 times 5 is 30. In this particular case, what I have over here is 42 letters. So it's 2 columns off, but the whole statement that goes through through civil is army or service of the war. So, in other words, while the word war is two columns off, the whole phrase army of the war is going through civil. So, you wanted to start reading the other way, you would have army of the war. What war is it? The next one, then you would look vertically and you would see civil. So it's a good expression. And it's small enough that I think it's worth looking for. Now, normally, when I pick an axis term, I prefer it to be at the lowest skip possible, the smallest number of letters between each letter of the word.
Yes.
In this case, I didn't get that. It was a rather high skip. In this case, for civil, it was at ELS rank 169, which means I had 168 chances before I got to this one, to find one that matched the way I wanted to match. So, therefore, what I wind up doing in the end is saying, okay, this is ELS rank 169, therefore I'll divide the final probability I have, I'll decrease its value by a factor of 169, because I had the 168 other chances, now the 169th chance to find that thing. So now, at that point, I'm treating this, normally civil and war as one term in this case, because it's separated a little bit. I'm basically going to divide it by the 169. I'm going to treat it a little bit different than a normal axis term. But at any rate, I go looking for the major things. So the first word that I want to look for is wall, because the wall that the president wants to build is the source of such tension. We're looking at just a few days away, Friday. President wants to shut down the government, or at least part of the government. It's going to be about 70% funded. So he's going to shut it down if he doesn't have the funding over the wall, he says. So that's going to make for a lot of hard feelings for a lot of people. The Democrats could avoid it easily by giving him what he wants, really, the funding for the wall, but they don't want to do that because it's a victory they're handing to him. So that's one thing. Now, we have statements by President Trump, and he's aware that people are, there's obviously going to be a tremendous effort to impeach him, with the Democrats taking over the House of Representatives. I think the American people made a huge mistake in putting the Democrats in office. Not to say the Republicans are perfect. There's a lot of things that they've got to improve on. But what they've done is open up a can of worms where there may not be much that the Democrats are doing at all, but trying to take the president down, and he likes to fight.
Yep.
So, therefore, the emphasis is going to shift from fixing our country to wrecking it at the cause. With Democrats want to wreck it just so they can bring down the president. And so Trump said, I'm looking at the New York Post, people would revolt if he were impeached. Well, what's a revolt by the people? That's a civil war or a revolution or whatever. And then we have on this figure one I have here, we have the statement by President Barack Obama, and he made this statement in South Africa 5 months ago. He said, rabid nationalism and racist ideology lead to civil war. Now, of course, President Trump has said he's proud to be a nationalist. So this remark by Obama is, who is the most racist person I've met in my entire life, short of some Nazis. I mean, the hatred this man has for whites and for Jews is unbelievable. I read his book, Dreams from My Father, and it was all, you know, whitey and just going to trash honkies and everything else. Bad language against the Jews. He also discusses in there what looks like there's a confession that he was born in Kenya, but that's another matter. But at any rate, when he visited Kenya, he was pretty much told as much by his half-sister. But here, you know, this was delivered in South Africa, these remarks. But, you know, he's talking about civil war. The president is talking about revolting if people try to impeach him. So the first guy to look for, the man that I think if we have a civil war is absolutely responsible, it would be President Barack Obama. And there is only once in Torah, in the 304,805 letters, that B. Obama occurs at a skip of plus or minus one. It's a minus one. And that one time is Genesis. It's chapter 24, verse 62. And it's letters 7 through 12 in the verse there, but going backwards, so from 12 back to 7. So B. Obama is on this little matrix I'm looking at. The whole size of the matrix is 9 rows by 26 columns. It's 234 letters. So, you know, that's a certain fraction of the Torah. We can do a mathematical calculation, and we can find out what's the probability of having B. Obama in that area. And the answer is, if it were the first time it appeared, this matrix was based on the only time in Torah that civil was there, the axis term is there, the odds against finding B. Obama would be 1,303 against. So 1,303 against, and yet it's here. But it's not, you know, so we have to look at all the items that are in the matrix and then divide it by 169. But he is the most significant term in the matrix. So at first I was satisfied to see him in terms of what I expected. Not I'm not happy to see that he's, you know, possibly the cause of the Civil War or nuclear war or anything else. But in terms of doing my research, that's an initial bingo. All right, so then what else can I find? All right, I looked for Schumer. He is on the matrix. And he shares a letter with Civil, but he's not at what I call a special case skip, which is plus or minus one, or the skip of the axis term, in this case, Michelle. Those are the special case skips that I like to look for. So although I've got Schumer here, he had a 39% chance to be on the matrix at a non-special case skip. So I'm not too thrilled at that point. I look for president. It occurs 68 times in Torah at skip one. It's also the same word as prince or chief, but it's here, but it's not at skip plus one. It's not in the open text. And so that's not too surprising. It had one chance, and about 32% chance to be on the matrix. So then what? Then I look at, start thinking, well, who else is involved in this thing? And I start thinking, well, who are the leading Democratic candidates for president, for the 2020 election? And I have a list of them here, and I heard a similar list on TV tonight. And number one is, on this one was Kamala Harris, but she only had odds against, odds to win the presidency. Trump was plus 150, Kamala Harris was plus 1,000. Of course, Trump is going to get the Republican nomination. Then it went Beto O'Rourke. He was higher tonight on the polls I heard on TV. Bernie Sanders was next, plus 1,200. Joe Biden was up there. I think Biden was number one on TV tonight. Bernie Sanders was number two. And then we start going down the list. All of a sudden, we get to what I think is the way the Democrats think, an ideal candidate. She's black, she's a woman, and, you know, there are other issues that we may discuss later in terms of just how far to the left she is. She's a pretty good speaker. She's got, you know, high opinions by most people in the country of her, and she seems like she's filling the bill in terms of a number of things the Democrats like. odds there, the betting odds were instead of the leader had plus 1,000, she's at plus 3,300. But surprisingly, you know, if I go all the way down the list, and I have all these listed on this article about the Civil War ahead, I find that if I compare her plus 3,300 with Hillary Clinton, who wants to run again apparently, she's Clinton's at plus 6,600. So what does that mean? That means that Michelle Obama is twice as likely if these odds, these are like Las Vegas betting odds. She's twice as likely as Hillary Clinton is to get another shot at it. You know, so that makes it of interest. So at that point, I said, well, let me see if Michelle is there. And, you know, in Hebrew, her name is spelled Mem Yud Shin Lamed. It's only four letters. But the second letter of her name, Yud, share is sharing is being shared with Civil. And her name appears at skip one going through Civil. So in other words, here this person I'm specifically looking for the name of, there couldn't be a closer match. At the better, well, there couldn't be a better skip. Always with me, plus one is the best skip. Then I like to see either minus one or the skip of the axis term, plus or minus, you know, the absolute skip of the axis term. But plus one I consider best case scenario. So I can do a little calculation, and I find the odds against Michelle Obama being at skip plus one on the whole 234 letter matrix is about 217 to one. But actually, the odds that she's going to cross the axis term and share a letter with it like that is a couple thousand to one. It's like 2,100 or so, something like that to one against. So when I see that, I got to match that extraordinary. Then I really sit up and I take notice that, hey, there, you know, this seems to be warning us that both the president, former president Obama, and his wife, they're at the core of what could be a civil war. Now, later in this article, I do a little bit of a literary review of a book by Stephen Kuntz called Liberty's Last Stand. And it's a fiction work. It was published in 2016, the year of the last election. The Democratic candidate for president was Hinton instead of Clinton, you know. But the president of the United States was a guy who's named in the book as being Barry Satoru. And I hope everybody in your audience knows who Barry Satoru is. That, of course, was President Obama's name when he lived in Indonesia. His father, stepfather was Satoru. And so Barack Obama used the name Barry Satoru in Indonesia, where he was registered in school as being a Muslim. Also had an Indonesian passport, which is very interesting, because in order to get an Indonesian passport, you have to, if you're an American, you have to renounce your U.S. citizenship. They won't allow for dual citizenship over there. So at some at some point, I guess it would have been his mother, would have renounced his citizenship to get him the Indonesian passport, which he later traveled to Pakistan with. You know, he's got a fascinating identity. But at any rate, in this book, Liberty's Last Stand, the book is about a situation where the president purposely allows terrorists to succeed in this country, Muslim terrorists, with the idea of putting the country under martial law. And then he wants to, in the book, he wanted to put off the elections because of civil disobedience or threats or whatever. And there's riots against it when he does this, and there's a civil war that ensues. So that's what Liberty's Last Stand is about. It's about a civil war based on President Obama. And one of the more exciting books that I've read in a long time, I was amazed that, in fact, that they allowed for the publication of this book because it doesn't pull any punches. You know, and yet Stephen Kuntz is a pretty big writer. I mean, he's a great writer. But this is probably where he went on the limb, out on a limb. And to a certain extent, I am tonight talking about some of this stuff. But I want to remind everybody, especially Fort Huachuca, that when I use the code, I'm just looking to see what's there. And if there's nothing there, I'll say there's nothing there. And if there is, then I put out the necessary caveats. I don't like to talk about negative things, and there's always a possibility that we can prevent this. But we have to at least know what the risks are, you know, in order to prevent it. And, you know, it would have been nice if people maybe made some better choices in the election where we lost the House recently. But now that in losing the House and now bringing this situation to a near head, where there's probably going to be an attempt to impeach the president, which is going to be the most divisive thing possible for this country. I mean, a lot of people just will not stand having the election stolen from them, especially for some of this nonsense out there, like the Russian collusion that never exists, there's no evidence for it, whatever.
Right.
So anyway, this whole matrix, when I divided the combined odds, let me see if there's anything else on here that I want to talk about. I pretty much hit the terms. It's a small matrix, but the odds against it, after I divide by the 169, the odds against it were 6,520,453 to 1. So normally I just publish my matrices, and then I sit back and I look at, you know, well, who's reading it? And there's a little trick where I can tell who's Defense Department, usually. And I can always, and if Fort Huachuca ensures, you know, with their methods, that I see them immediately as soon as they come on. I know they're here right away. And in fact, I actually have massive records of how often they've come here and when they've come, depending on what I've written and so forth. You know, in case there's ever any legal problems, I can show exactly what I wrote about, when I wrote about it, when they came there. And who else came there as a result of that? The regular readers, people listening in on the phone right now, if they're not spies or anything, they don't have to worry about me doing. I don't keep records for everybody else, but I do look for these guys, especially because I got threatened once by somebody who was associated with Fort Huachuca, and I think I've discussed that on a show with you before.
Yes, you did.
So.
Yep.
Now, there's a second matrix that I have on here. And, Larry, I want to thank you for putting up this matrix with Black Power and in the same B. Obama. Since you put it up, I went and looked, and I was curious, was Michelle there also? And the answer is that yes, she is. I had to expand the matrix from 84 letters to show Black Power as the Axis term, and B. Obama at skip minus one. But that gave me, and when I went from 84 letters up to 266, it gave me Michelle at skip one. And before, the odds against the matrix were like, I think it was 100 and, no, I think it was about 100 and something to one. But when I did this, the odds went up to, odds against it went up to 16,885 to one. So it was definitely worth a slight expansion to show Michelle. And then I looked at what I had, and it took me a while to think about this. I knew automatically it was the same B. Obama because there's only once it occurs at a skip plus or minus one, minus one in Torah. So every time I see that, and I always look for that because I like that term, because normally you're not going to find B. Obama vertically at the same skip. You may find Obama, but you won't find B. Obama. You know, the six letters required for that. So therefore, this makes it immediately significant if I find it. So it's just something I keep in mind. If I'm looking for Obama, okay, look to see is he at the skip of the axis term, and look to see is he at skip minus one. And you know, if it's there's no Obama by itself, just as minus one. It's always B. Obama over there, and it always comes from the same exact point, which is Genesis chapter 4, 24, verse 62, as I mentioned before. But now I figured, after I found this, I said, you know, I'm just curious. I know that Michelle occurs six times in Torah. Is this the same Michelle? And sure enough, when I compared the Axis term with the Civil War with Black Power, Michelle in both cases is found at Exodus chapter 22, verse 13. Letters 40 to 43. So it is exactly the same B. Obama and Michelle on both matrices. And wow. When you think about black power and what they're saying, and you think about civil war, there were a lot of times during the Obama administration where there would be, unfortunately, a police officer might shoot a young black person or mm-hmm. something like that, and there would be riots. And in some
yeah.
cases, the police officer was just defending himself, and you know the kid was a threat to the police officer's life. But there were constant riots, of which the media seemed to love it, especially CNN and MSNBC. They'd be there. They'd be waiting for the next riot. You know, I mean, they'd be thrilled if the city would burn down because it was a great story. That's what they were like. But it looked like almost a civil war while he was here with all the rioting that was going on. So, you know, black power was at the heart of it. You remember in the Democratic primaries, you know, each of the candidates was asked about the phrase Black Lives Matter. And I remember the governor of Maryland, you know, he started to give his thoughts that, oh, he thought all lives matter. He was booed. He was put down, you know.
Yeah.
And every candidate after that who wanted to say all lives matter, which is simple common sense, no. They were told, no, it's Black Lives Matter. Police don't matter. White lives don't matter. And this was a very, very pronounced, repeated pattern throughout the entire election. And if, you know, and if that's not something that's pushing people towards civil war, I don't know what is. But we've never heard the
mm-hmm.
president come up and say, never heard President Obama say, all lives matter. But, you know, he was really fast to talk about how much, you know, if somebody got killed, it would remind him of his own son, if he had a son, and so forth. He just looked like him, and it was just there was just no attempt for unity whatsoever. So to see him on these matrices like this, and I'm looking at one picture on it. It's, I've got right by Michelle, a picture of her with a Black Power salute, and
yep.
The president was doing that a number of times. You know, it seemed to be the only thing that was on his mind back then was Black Power, and you know, basically it's become almost like a crime to be a white male in this country.
mm-hmm.
You know, so at least in the eyes of some of these people over there, they've got to back off, you know, because they're taking us in a bad direction. And so it's kind of common sense, hey, reason with them. But I don't know that they can be reasoned with, as this remains to be seen. So that's the first part of this. You mentioned something about, I don't know if I want to go into the one-on-one, what Joan Rivers had to say about Michelle Obama too much, but let's just say that, I'm not going to explain every detail of it here, but she was insinuating that, that Michelle Obama was a transgender. And
mm-hmm.
In fact, there's links on, there's a matrix that supports that. And there's links to twice where the president, President Obama, was speaking, and he referred to his wife as Michael. And by the way, that Michael name is repeated in that book, Liberty's Last Stand, by Koontz. I remember seeing that and falling over.
Oh, really?
yeah, he had that in there too. So the rest of this article, you know, I have to take a look and think about, well, what would a civil war like that be like? And without getting too specific, I do one analysis here. I have two charts I bring up at Maps of the United States. One shows the presidential election results for 2016 by counties. Red, of course, is Republican. Blue is Democratic. And then right next to it, U.S. population by density by counties. And if you study the two maps, what you'll see is they're almost identical, except that the, you know, the denser populations are shown in orange versus the yellow population, the less dense populations
mm-hmm.
in light yellow instead of the red and blue type thing. But there's almost 100% correlation over here. So if there is ever a civil war in the United States, the reason I point out this map is that my job when I was in the military is to write war plans. And contingency plans, disaster plans, also sometimes very limited civil disturbance plans. And certainly a civil war would be a massive civil disturbance. So in terms
mm-hmm.
of planning, how would we plan for this? Because most of my readers, they are military people. I think the vast majority of them are in planning. I can't say that for sure. I know who Force Wachuca is, you know, because I met there with the one guy. That's all, but it was enough to show me what was going on. And so the question, how do you plan? So if there is a civil war, it's not going to be North versus South. That's the first guy. Everybody knows about regions, but it's not even so much regional. What it would be, what it would look like, it would be the urban areas that are Democratic versus the rural areas that are Republican. And, you know, I point out in the article that if you had a war like that, you know, it's first of all, it's hard to organize. I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to have the cities attack the farmlands and wipe out their farms? Then they got nothing to eat. I don't think you would have the farmers go into a city that's densely occupied with hostile forces. In terms of the military, I don't know that necessarily they would divide one way or the other, but I kind of talk about that a little bit in the article. You know, so I don't think that's what it would look like. It would not be a civil war like the last civil war. The next chart I have on here, percentage of population in the United States owning at least one gun in 2017 by political party affiliation. And I can see that Republicans, 41% own a gun. Another 15% live in a house with his gun. So that's 56% of Republicans are armed or in a household that's armed. For the Democrats, it's 16% own guns with 9% in homes where there is a gun, so it's 25%. So the Republicans, in terms of percentages, are armed by a ratio of 56 to 25, more than the Democrats, so more than twice as much, as many arms in Republican households. And then they show the independents over here. The independents are armed a lot more also than the Democrats, of course, are the least armed. But that doesn't mean that they can't do anything dangerous, because we had the shooting there. Was it Scalia? No, it was the Supreme Court.
Yes.
It was okay. That shooting was on the baseball field.
He said that they were going to get the guns.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Yeah. So, at any rate, Scalia's not the Supreme Court justice over there. I'm trying to think. Do I have the name right? I could be wrong on that. But Scalia.
Are you talking about the one that got murdered?
No, he got shot and he was crippled playing baseball.
Scalia.
It was a shooter. What is it?
I think it's Scalia, isn't it, Larry?
Scalia. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Not Scalia.
Scalia. Yep.
Scalia. It was. And, and the guy who did it was, not that Bernie Sanders directed it, but he was a Bernie Sanders supporter. So you can have Democrats that are wackos out there with guns too, you know, but that whole thing raises the specter of whether or not the politicians become the targets. And then the question is, how does the military plan to deal with that? Obviously a lot of defense for all the politicians on both sides would be needed. Now, one person who really obviously is seen as extremely negative by a lot of people in this country, the Republicans, is Nancy Pelosi. And I show her image right next to the Kuntz book, but what I have her, what the quote says from the Washington Times is very interesting. It says, Pelosi tells the media not to cover the president's criminal probes morning, noon, and night. Well, that would be a start. That's a good thing, what she said. Every once in a while, I mean, they say even a broken clock is right twice a day. Every once in a while, Nancy Pelosi will say something that's right. Whether she sticks to it too long remains to be seen. But, you know, the Democrats have been given a chance at the House of Representatives now. And obviously we've just seen where Obamacare was ruled unconstitutional, and the mandate is gone. So the Democrats pretty much, they have a chance to craft something with the Republicans that can get through. The president's anxious to sign something, you know, that's going to be good health care for the country. And her focus should be on that, and the Democrats' focus should be on that. On the issue of the wall, every one of these Democrats that's opposed to the wall right now at some point voted for it, including
yes.
President Obama, you know, voted for it. So it's not that, you know, they think the wall is really what she said, what Pelosi said, immoral, because she voted for it before. It's just a matter of they don't want to do anything that makes Trump look good, and they don't want to give him a victory on anything. And that's personal, petty, and it's extremely
yes.
divisive, and that kind of crap has got to come to an end. But, you know, here again, I come back to what I started the evening with. I set before you this day, you know, the blessing, life and death, the blessing and the curse. Choose life. She's got to make some choices. If she's, in fact, going to be the Speaker of the House, then she needs to, let's stop all these darn probes. Because I'll tell you, they're not doing a darn thing. By now, and it's in the code that Mueller is encoded, Mueller is corrupt, is encoded the same skip as Trump. You know,
yes.
And there's an awful, the guy is an absolute crook. And,
yeah.
You know, all these entire investigations are all nonsense. All these crimes that people are pleading to, they're, I think what's called process or whatever, they said, like, after the fact, after the election, you know, they're put into an investigation, questions by the FBI, and all of a sudden, like Flynn, General Flynn, you know, they're not told in many cases, oh, you could go to jail for this and whatever, and then they wind up charging the guy because he gets caught in a lie or he doesn't remember something. It's got nothing to do with collusion between the President Trump and Russia. It's nonsense. It's all politics, and it's extremely destructive politics, and it can cost a lot of people lives. It's got to stop. Now, whether or not she has the smarts or the attention span to do what she's implying here, you know, I mean, it's the one thing to say to the press, well, don't cover the story. But if she's the Speaker of the House and they do, you know, impeach the president, the media's not going to say, oh, we're not going to cover the story because Nancy Pelosi don't cover it. They won't cover the story if they don't impeach. You know, put the impeachment idea away. It's not right. It's divisive. You know, by the time she gets into power, it's already 2019, and the next year is the next presidential election. Focus
mm-hmm.
on, you know, winning that election, if that's what you think, if you're a Democrat. I absolutely hated Obama. Probably wrote 100 articles against him. There's a special Obama table of contents on my artcode.com website. You know, as I can see, all kinds of horrible things with this guy. He's like the negative focal point of history. You know, you know, I put up with it, you know, and, okay, I wrote articles, try to influence how people vote. But that's the name of the game in the United States. When, you know, you don't like what's going on with the system, you know, you vote the bums out. You don't do other stuff that are,
mm-hmm.
you know, some of the dangers that we're looking at over here. So... That's the gist of what was in the Civil War article, and all I can say is that you know, I hope the voters do the right thing. I hope nobody uses the codes. Nobody should ever try to use the codes to support any radical action. I will tell you this: that you know, if you don't know what you're doing statistically. There are all kinds of matrices that people find, and they look significant, and they're absolutely meaningless. Absolutely meaningless. So
mm-hmm.
Because of the frequency of the terms that they carry, because of the way the words come together in Hebrew, and letter frequencies and so forth. So you really have to know the statistics when you look at something to know whether you're going to accept it. Unless you have a question, I'll go on to the matrix I posted today as an example.
Larry,
any questions?
Got a question?
Well, I was going to mention to Barry that I appreciate him talking about Stephen Kuhn's book, Liberty's Last Stand, because we did a review on that of that book, and I was going to try to get Stephen Kuhn on as a guest, but he was only in one public setting advertising that book, and I saw it on Lou Dobbs on Fox Business. And then he went underground, and then the book hit, and then suddenly you couldn't find the book anywhere or hear about it hardly. Amazon, you can still find it, but pretty much Stephen Kuntz had to really go hide out after that book. Incredible
well,
book.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. I'm sorry to hear it. But, I mean, I was shocked when I read it that it got published. You know, I mean,
yeah, and it got published during Obama's term.
Yeah, I know that. During the election, it was published in 2016. I think it was published a couple months before the first convention. So he did not see Trump being nominated in that thing. I guess he probably was reading the newspapers. They were saying that that was foolish or, insane that President Trump would get elected. But surprise! But the rest of it was pretty much spot on. Thank God we have not had martial law declared in this country. Does not mean we won't if there's a civil war that occurs. If there's impeachment. I think I could say without looking at the codes, with a very high degree of probability, martial law will be declared because the rioting would be unprecedented.
You mean if he's impeached?
If President Trump is impeached, the question is impeached or impeached and convicted. He's not going to get impeached. He's not going to get convicted. I say this in the article over here.
Yes.
I kind of emphasize that. Because the fact that you have 53 Republicans, so they'd have 60 to 62 people in the Senate, that would come over and vote against President Trump. It ain't gonna happen, not unless something extraordinary came out. And it's not gonna be collusion with Russia. Collusion is not a crime anyway. So it's not gonna happen. So in terms of would there be rioting if there's just an impeachment? That doesn't have a prayer of going anywhere. As long as people understand this is just politics and nonsense, maybe there wouldn't be a civil war at that point. But if for some reason the Democrats and the Republicans got together in the Senate and wanted to go through an impeachment or to convict, that would be another matter. I don't think people would tolerate that unless there was such extraordinary evidence that came out. And frankly, I've only seen evidence once in my life. After Watergate, I guess you could say, where there would be clear grounds for impeachment and conviction, and that would be against President Barack Obama for the nuclear accord with Iran, where he gave them $151.7 billion.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave them a path to a nuclear weapon that would be guaranteed they could build as many weapons as they want after 10 years. We're down to 6.5 years on that clock right now. That's high treason. But how the United States did not see that, why he was not impeached, I guess it was because, coming back to black power, people were afraid that if they did that, there would be a race riot. So that was his literally trump card, on everything. And he played it to the hilt. But that was high treason. And in fact, I still think, in part based on the codes, there's still a chance that certain things come out with President Obama, he could be brought back and impeached. There is one case in history, right after the Civil War, where a Supreme Court justice was impeached after he resigned from office. They put him on trial. Now he was not convicted, but he was impeached, even though he was no longer in office. So I think the same holds true with the president. But again, you get that back to these racial sensitivities, and you have a lot of people in this country that just see things in terms of black and white, and if you have accusations going against the wrong color, that's intolerable for them. So it'd be difficult, but this is where the concern for the Civil War comes up. The thing for the military that they've got to understand, I'm sure they do, but let me say this, is that no matter how horrible something sounds, we have, and I'm going to put a we in there as a retired military officer, I was on an active duty till I was 60 years old, we have a responsibility plan for everything. So I once was at a conference in Atlanta, Georgia, SACPAWS conference it was, and we had, what was the conference about? I was the sole representative of the Coast Guard for planning actions in a post-nuclear war environment. And I'm going to tell you something. What I saw there was not – I'm not going to talk about the specifics because it was classified. I'll just say that, in planning for how we would try to put this country on its feet after a nuclear war, it's not business as usual, to say the least. I wrote civil disturbance plans, and I talk about this in the article. They were always unclassified, but for official use only. But as a Coast Guard officer, The only thing that I was concerned about, and what was supposed to be concerned about, in accordance to the guidance was out there, was if there's a civil disturbance, we have to defend Coast Guard stations. Okay, nothing really horrible about that. You know, make sure they don't climb over the chains and take all the property inside, steal the boats and all the stuff like that, just steal the aircraft. And the only other function that we had, as I recall, was to provide transportation for other federal agencies where required. Waterborne transportation, because we had the boats, if that would get someplace. Maybe assist in firefighting if we could, that kind of thing. But the every one of those plans that I wrote had as a reference in it the garden plot plan. And the garden plot plan, there's an awful lot of stuff online about it with a lot of conspiracies, and nobody knows what the hell they're talking about. And the reason I say that is the plan was top secret. So unless you had a top secret clearance, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. You haven't read the plan. And that included me, you know, and I had a secret clearance. But here I am, I'm referring to it because I'm saying in the event of a civil disturbance, see, you know, the garden plot and gave a con plan name or, you know, the whole plan name, number, and so forth. But it would not be opened up for people to look at until we were in that situation.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, these people that speculate, that's all they do, they speculate. But we have a responsibility, and because I've got so many military readers, I'm saying to them, think about these things. Here's the situation, and now what are you going to do about it? Because you don't want to shoot from the hip, especially when you got patches and flames. On the other hand, do we want to start locking everybody up? In Liberty's Last Stand, of course, we got concentration camps set up. And President Satoru was having all the Republicans arrested, all the conservatives arrested and thrown in there, and he was out to execute certain people, whatever. And that brought on the war when people started seeing what was going on. So martial law is not something you want to just throw out there real fast. So that's in an extreme circumstance you go to something like that. But anyway, this next matrix I wanted to talk about was just one published today, and it's not the most exciting one in the world, but it shows the kinds of things I look for if I want to answer a simple question that's of intelligence interest. And I saw Fort Huachuca come on within a minute of posting this, and they were reading it. By the way, let me see if I have anything else. I was going to go back and look and see if they're there now. But at any rate, this one, it was an Iranian general that shot himself in the head, supposedly. And this is what Iran just announced. His name was General, let me see if I can pronounce his first name here, Ghadratollah, and then Mansouri. Supposedly shot himself in the head while he was cleaning a gun. I believe Sunday or just maybe right before Sunday or something like that. Now, when I see something like this, the first thing that comes into my mind is an Iranian general. He's been in battle in Syria. He's been in battle in Iraq. He doesn't know how to handle a gun, and he shoots himself in the head and blows his brains out. Or was
Sounds
he
odd.
Executed? Was he executed by the government of Iran? Was he executed by the Israelis or by the Iraqis or by ISIS? Somebody in Syria. Can we trust Iran on this one? So, all right, I got an access term here of General Mansouri. It's the only time it occurs in Torah. It's 58,428. In Rap Torah. Rap Torah, by the way, means that the computer had to go through the Torah, the full Torah, more than once. It would go from the beginning to the end and then go back to the first letter in Torah and back to the end again if necessary. That's a rap matrix. And then his name pops up this way. And a lot of people, they if you're going to find them, there's so many people in the world, you got to go to Rap Torah to find out where they are. So in the first line of the matrix, at skip one, is accident. And that's what the Iranians say it was. And then if I go down the six rows, directly under that is the word gun at skip one. And then the two letters that follow that mean dead. So I do find Israel four lines below that. But Israel occurs 591 times in Torah. So, you know, on a matrix this size, which is 666 letters, Israel had a 72.5% chance to be there. But the odds against finding accident were 150 at skip one were 153-1 against. So that's a significant term. The odds of finding gun at skip one was 92-1 against. So that's a significant term. So if I combine them, not counting Israel, because I don't have proof that Israel did it, I don't have reason to believe that Israel did it. He's not at the top of their hit list as far as I know. So the odds for those two words to be at skip one in a matrix that size are 14,086-1. So when I see this is what the Iranians are claiming in this case, did he accidentally shoot himself in the head? The matrix seems to say yes. Now, a caveat here, I went looking to see what else is on the matrix in the open text. And there is the phrase from Numbers chapter 16, verse 29. If these men die the common death of all men, of all mankind, then the Lord has not sent me. Now this and suffer the fate of, here it says, if these men die a natural death and suffer the fate of all mankind, then the Lord has not sent me. So this particular statement was made by Moses. There was a rebellion against Moses in Sinai by Korach, and he had a couple hundred people who followed him. And at one point, you know, they were arguing with him on a very small point. How small a point? A Jew wears a prayer shawl, you know, and there are fringes called tzitzit on it. Mm-hmm. On each one, in each tzitzit, there's supposed to be their white threads, but one's supposed to be a blue, a certain shade of blue. It's the tehelis. And so this guy Korach was a wise guy. And he said, you know what, we're all holy. I'm a member of the Levite family and so forth. I want to have a tzitzit that's going to be all blue. Why just one? And he argues with Moses. And he wants the leader to rebel. Just a small point that he's picking. And then Moses says, you know, he falls down and he, you know, like, you don't understand what I, you know, all, everything I've done for you. I was, with God's help, I split the sea and, you know, death of the firstborn, and you're getting all this manna from heaven and anything else, and you want the leadership. You're not satisfied with being an assistant. So Moses said that, you know, okay, if you're going to die the death of the natural man, then you're right. God didn't send me. At that moment, the ground splits open.
Yep.
And Korach goes down with all his family, all his followers into the pit alive, and the ground closes. And that's not the death of all people. So this is a very emphatic statement. Now over here, that this statement is on this matrix, it's not a normal thing that a Iranian general would shoot himself in the head. Now maybe if he wanted to commit suicide, okay. But cleaning a gun, it's not a normal, so it's almost like God is saying, okay, well, you're a general of the Revolutionary Guard. You're a terrorist organization, so maybe I'll make your finger slip or something, whatever, I don't know. So it's something to look at.
Two,
but the
yeah.
Okay.
We got
the
about
overt
2 minutes.
Story that, okay, the overt story that it was an accident is supported by Torah. All right, I've said more than my piece, I think. You got what else do you want to, how do you want to close out the show?
Larry? Got anything?
Yeah, I was just going to mention, I know we're almost out of time, but I was going to mention to him that's very interesting, the code he ran on the stupidity virus, it seems to be in prevalence around America.
Yes, it is. And that code, there is such a virus, and it's found in, I think it was something like 42% of the people in the sample, and it was found to cause stupidity in, I guess, rats or whatever. But it's out there, and it was about the number of people who, about either Democratic or Republican. It was a similar type thing. But, I have a hard time understanding, a very, very hard time understanding how people could vote for a president that, gave that much money to our enemies. An amazing thing, and not see it, not understand what's going on. But, that article, an alien virus, may explain mass political stupidity. I'm trying to see if I can see what the name of the virus is in here. I don't know, skipping through here. There's some number in the beginning someplace. Okay, here, there's a link to the article where I got the thing from. It was Newsweek magazine, American Researchers Discover Stupidity Virus, was the where you can find it, Newsweek. The name of the virus was ATCV-1, like Alpha Tango Charlie Victor-1. And, yeah, it was in 43% of 43.5% of people that were investigated. So it's
wow.
out there.
Well, thanks a lot for coming on, Barry. I guess we're running out of time here. I really
appreciate
you coming on. We'll have to have you back.
All right. It's always a pleasure.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks,
Barry. And Larry, thanks for carrying my stuff. And keep on looking. I saw you sent me some other things to read through and been getting ready for the show. You know, since you mentioned the stuff last week, and I'll try to check out and see what's there. Okay?
Thanks,
okay.
Barry.
Yep. Thanks a lot, Larry. Thanks a lot. Okay.
Thanks
night, for everybody.
And, Wachuca, that includes you. Have a pleasant evening. Bye.
Okay. See you later.